The word today is persecution. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. Jesus taught his followers that they might be hated by the world and that they should expect persecution. No one likes to be hated and mistreated, especially when they're trying to be godly. Rather than be ashamed of it, the early believers in Jesus boasted of their persecutions. Why would they do that? Here to explain the Christian response to persecution is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Persecution.
Persecution of Christians was a daily reality in the ancient world. In the New Testament, there is discussion of that and how the Christians were to react to it when people hated them, when they would confiscate their property, when they would throw Christians into prisons, and even threaten their lives and kill them. One might think that when you're being persecuted as a Christian, you have a right of retaliation, or that you should fight to defend yourself or get even. And yet there is none of this in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there is none of this in the New Testament. In fact, in an amazing way, the Christians actually boasted over being persecuted for Jesus. I'd like to share with you, it sounds like a very strange thing to do, to boast over persecutions, but I hope that you'll understand this by the time we've worked through this section from the Bible, from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, this was a letter that Paul the Apostle, who had suffered much persecution himself, was writing to the church in Thessalonica. And he had this to say. I'm going to start in verse 2 after the general greetings. Paul says, "We ought to always thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance in faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you're suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you." Paul is discussing the fact that it would be expected that Christians would face persecution. Something about this that we need to realize is that there is not going to be a perfect world. There isn't going to be a society under heaven where there is not hatred, animosity, disgust, and mistreatment of other humans. It's a sad fact that sin has so corrupted our nature that you can't escape from evil and wickedness. And various cultures do better or worse at trying to limit this sinful expression, and yet it still exists. No matter how hard people try to make a perfect society, they cannot. One of the things that is to be seen here is that oftentimes Christians are talked about derisively, and faith is mentioned as the big cause for the problems in society. Atheists often try to paint a simplistic image of the world that everything would be better if somehow we did away with religion. Well, that's just sheer nonsense. The cause of our problems is not due to religion. The cause of our problems is because of sinful imperfection in humanity. whether that's recognized or not. The Bible doesn't try to portray some idea that the world's going to become, when it's filled with sinners, some kind of paradise. The world has to come to an end as it is and be completely remade by God in order to get to that state. But back to this idea of suffering persecution. Persecution does, even though we don't want it, even though we don't want to undergo it, persecution does have some effects that strengthen us. It's kind of like the acid test for faith. If a person doesn't want to proclaim Jesus publicly, if they don't want to receive any kind of a negative outcome, they would then deny him. They would turn on Jesus when the pressure comes. I think this is one of the reasons why Jesus told us, "He who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But he who denies me before men, I will deny before my Father in heaven." All Christians should know that we might be persecuted. There might come times when we would suffer for nothing other than the fact that we are a follower in Jesus Christ. But remember, you know, we are invited in the New Testament to live like aliens and strangers here. We shouldn't expect to be treated perfectly and wonderfully all the time. We hold an opinion that really causes anger among many people. Like, for instance, when we teach, according to the Bible, that God made them male and female, and that there are likely genetic aberrations, genetic causes for all of these different sexual orientations that people are talking about, we might get hated for that opinion. People might oppose us for that. They might persecute us for that. And even though we're showing love, even though we're attempting to be helpful, they may ridicule us or hate us for that. And there's many other ways. If we suggest that traditional marriage and a two-parent family is the ideal for raising children, well, individuals might scorn us. They might say that we're basing this all on old, ancient formulas and not real society today. There's a thousand ways that people can trouble us or cause us grief. The bottom line is that as Christians, we should expect this. And the early Christians knew that they would be hated, that they might even be jailed or tortured for their faith. They considered this participation in the sufferings of Jesus. This was like the most extreme form of conforming to Christ, of being like Christ. And so the benefit was that it proves who's the true follower of Jesus and who truly is not committed. It makes the distinction there. But it also gives an opportunity to show our faith. That's why the Christians boasted. It's an incredible thought, but Paul actually said that he boasted of the sufferings of Christ. He wouldn't talk about his own good works. He didn't want what Paul did to become the thing that was so fantastic and that he bragged about, but that he boasted of his sufferings of Christ. In other words, it was because of Jesus that he would be tormented. It was because of the Lord that he would suffer. In other words, the glory goes to God. The credit goes to God and not to us. The world is always going to have viciousness, injustice. I remember one time when my son Luke was playing basketball on a basketball court and he had set his phone far off of the court under a shirt. And during the course of the day, there were guys jumping, running around. And at the end of the basketball game, Luke went to get his phone, and his phone had been smashed from someone jumping on it or landing on it. And yet, no one reported this. Now, maybe they were unaware, but possibly someone knew they crunched a phone when they landed on it and didn't admit it. Well, Christians, through accident or through deception and lies, we will always, like the rest of the world, have sad things happen and people will do things against us. But let's be clear. Persecution in the New Testament is for the name of Jesus. It's being hated because you are a follower of Jesus. Anyone might be deceptive regarding a broken phone, and that can happen to an atheist or an idolater, the same as it can happen as a Christian. But when someone comes after you because you're a Christian, now that's persecution. And the bottom line for the Christian is that we are to look for the future. We are to look to heaven. We are not to retaliate in kind. We are not to hate those who hate us. That can be the most challenging part. I love the way my mother thinks about this. When someone gives her a hard time or mocks her for her faith, she thinks, well, that person has a spiritual sickness. You don't hate people that are ill, and sometimes they're ill-mannered or ill-tempered, and but you don't hate them for that because they have a sickness. It's the same with someone who is blind in sin and persecutes a Christian. The ultimate witness is to be a martyr, a person who is killed for their faith in Christ. Martyrs don't go and kill others in themselves. Martyrs are killed for their beliefs. And that's the ultimate testimony, the ultimate witness. That's what the word martyr means. So we would love to be in a world without persecution, but Satan and a hateful world against Jesus doesn't like Christians. To that, we respond with love, not hatred, knowing that we're living for future life in heaven, not incurring the wrath of God and damnation, which we don't wish on anyone, but that we know we're forgiven and heading toward eternal life. So if you come under persecution, keep that in mind and do your best to let the Spirit of God return the hate with love so that you can be a good witness to Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's The Word Today. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.